to up till the day 13. Because in the day one or day two, I didn't see very importance. It talks about the story about the Atiya and how he came to the Tibet, all these stories, contents all these stories. Mm-hmm. So Atiya is the one, or the mainly the founder of the Lama practice. Founder of the Lama practice. On base of that, Lama Tsongkhapa wrote the text called the Lamrim, and Liberation Pami, the one of the best commentary of the Lamrim. Yeah, so as I mentioned, the first time when we started the Liberation Palm, because the Lamrim means the stages of the path. When the Buddha was giving teaching, he didn't mention about the stages of the path. He gave the teaching with the many different points. So now the Lamrim is mainly its emphasis of the stages of the path. What should you practice first? Should you practice second? So it make the stages of the practice or the stages of the path. Yeah, so the Liberation Palm is the one of the best commentary of the Lamrim, which was written by the Lama Tsongkhapa. Lama Tsongkhapa wrote the Lamrim based on the Atisha's text. So Atisha is the one of the founder of the Lamrim practices. Actually, these on Lamrim practices are the mentioned by the Buddha, but Buddha didn't make it like a stages. So Atisha make a stages, like a very systems of the practice. So in the first day or second day of the liberation in the palm, it talks about the stories of the Atisha and the, how he came to the Tibet. Yeah, so that's why I thought that it's not that important. So if you don't have a time to read the first day or second day, you don't have to read. There won't be any questions, okay, from the day first and day second, okay? So generally, one thing is Atisha was one great master. He was really great master. And when you come to the Tibet, that time the Tibet was very difficult situation because a lot of the different Buddhism idea already came in the Tibet. So even not only the lot of the different ideas came in the Tibet, also a lot of the conflicts among the Buddhists where they are not very sure that which is the right Buddhism, which is the wrong Buddhism. Like that situation, and Tibetan king invited the Atisha. From India. So when the Tibet king invited the Atisha to Tibet, the true reason that the very important point is that the Tibetan king, when he was searching for the one great master, then he found the Atisha. Because the one reason was that the Atisha at that time, he was quite not that old, quite a young, middle age. So that's the one thing that he can travel as a Tibet very fast, and he can contribute a lot of his time to the Tibet. So they are saying, legendary saying, that Atisha at that time in his monastery, he is in charge of the food. So they are saying that he was in charge of the food. He was giving the food for the monks, and he's doing the in charge work. So Abbot don't want to send the Atisha to the Tibet. Yeah, so that is the one. Reason. Second reason was that the Atisha, when he can do a lot of the things for the Tibet, mainly that he's also the will and his interests are very strong to help the Tibetan peoples, because he also got some indication from the Buddha that he should serve in the Tibet. That's the second reason, that he also have a very strong interest to help the Tibetan people. And also his age-wise, he was so young that time. So these two reasons brings a lot of these two reasons makes that bringing the Atisha, and he helped for the Tibetan people, also clarified a lot of the confusions among the Buddhist followers in Tibet. Yeah, so that is another, on the day one and day two, it talks about a lot of the stories of the Atisha. How he was invited for the Tibet, and how he find a difficult, well, the abbot of his temple, or the supreme head of his temple, don't want to send the Atisha to Tibet. He's not giving permission. So they just have to get the permission and lots of the difficulties. It's the people who want to invite Fatisha to the Tibet. Now the day three, from the now day three, it was talk about the Dhamma. What is actually the greatness of the Dhamma? What is the Dhamma? And how we have to listen to Dhamma? How we have to preach the Dhamma? Then the day three mainly it's these points of the day three. And it talks about how we listen the Dhamma, how we have to teach the Dhamma, how we have to study the Dhamma. So this is the on the day three. So generally, as I told you before, that when you listen the Dhamma, there should be also we have to know that how we have to listen the Dhamma. When you teach the Dhamma, also you have to know the how to teach the Dhamma. And also importance is that what kind of benefit of the Dhamma when you practice it, what the greatness. So in these all points, the main points of the day three. So on the day three, as I think you all may know that the four question will come in the day three, okay? So on the day four, now the main, now the day four, it will talk about the, now when you start to the practice the Dharma, what is the preliminary, what is the basic, what is the first point? So it talks about the basic points of the, how we have to practice the Dharma. So it talks about the basic points. So it talks about the practices. Or you can call the pre-preparatory rites, no? Six preliminary practice. Six the yeah, they talks about it talks about the six preliminary practice in the day four. This is the one very important point. And also it will talks about how you have to set up the altars, how you do the offerings, that it talks very clearly how you have to set up the altars, how you have to do the offerings. So then it will talks very clearly that even when you set up the altar, what should be keep the top, what should be keep the below, what should be keep in the middle. So then also the offering, it talks about offerings, that how we can do the water bowl offering, how we have to do the incense offering, how we have to do the butter lamp offering. It talks about how we can do the offerings. And also it talks about the benefits of the offering the water bowls. I will make a one question, one or two question of the benefit of the offering the water bowl, okay? Now then it talks about adjusting the body and the motivation. Then it talks about adjusting the body and motivation. Adjusting the body and the motivation. Then it talks about when you meditate, how we have to sit, how we have to change our motivations. So that's also this also generally when you meditate, that's also important that the, to know that what is the body position and what kind of the motivation we need before we start to practice or we start the meditation. So sometimes the people have a lot of the misunderstanding. Whenever we talk the Dharma practice, whenever we talk the Dharma, lots of people have the two type of the misunderstanding what I saw. One misunderstanding is that when you do the Dharma practice, most of they will misunderstand about the Dharma practices. So more they have to do like a physically, like offerings and all these doings. They will not knowing that the old Dharma, mainly the Dharma practice, be done by the mentally. And the second misunderstanding is whenever we talk of the Dharma practice, a lot of people feel that they have to leave everything what they have. They have to leave everything what they have. This they are having like this kind of misunderstanding. Actually, it's not like that. They think that the Dharma practice should be like leaving everything and going in the jungle or going in the remote area, something like that. Actually, it's not like that. So that's why you can see that in the preliminary practice, first it talks about cleaning the house. It doesn't tell that leave your house. So that's why that it shows that's showing that the first point of the preliminary is cleaning the your house and cleaning the environment. It didn't mention that leave your house and leave your environment. Okay. So this is on the day four. Okay. Now, the day four, as you know, this question will come. Okay. One, as I told before, one about the offering of the water bowl. Okay. Benefit of the offering the water bowl. This will be the one question. Okay. Among the six. Okay. Because they say legendary, their stories. They're saying that when Adisha came to the Tibet, he was so surprised to see the Tibetan water, because mostly Tibetan waters come from the mountain, the snow mountains water. So he saw the water is so clear. So he said the one thing in the Tibet, the only the water I can offering the only the water I can accumulate the immense of the merit. So maybe I think that because Adisha came from the India, very hot place. So whenever you see the water, very cold water, I think he feel very joy. Okay, anyway. Okay. Okay. Now on the day five, now most day five, so it's a more important is the day five, as you can see, it talks about the merit field, practicing the merit field. So as I mentioned before, the merit fields are very important. So merit field is generally there, as I told before, sometimes with the practitioner, especially when you come to the Mahayana and the Vajrayana, they are the hundreds and thousands of the deity. So sometimes people get very confused that the which deity they should pray, how they have to pray. So merit field, when you pray for the merit field, all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, all the deities, all the protectors are in the merit field. So in the day five, it talks about the whole the petition in the merit field. And also the merit field, I think you can see, you can watch that in the video, 3D video in the YouTube about the merit field. Yeah, because the merit field, the importance in the merit field is that whoever they're going to start the Dharma practice, so we have to gain the or we have to gain or we have to achieve the more merits. The best way of achieving the merit is the practice the merit field. Then, and when you start with the practice, so it is Dhamma practice, you need a lot, there are many different courses to improve your best way of the practice, also the practicing the merit field.
Sorry, Rinpoche, it's a little bit sound breaking, so I could not hear.
Okay. Can you hear me clearly now?
Yes, now it's okay.
Okay, so when you practice out to the practice the Dharma, so even it's important to remove the all the obstacles. So the practicing the merit field also helps to us to remove the obstacle, and also the practicing the merit field also helps us to improve the our practice. That if you look at the Buddha's life history, there is a saying that when Buddha was meditating or Buddha was meditating. And before he achieved the enlightenment, and that night, a lot of the demons and a lot of the spirits came to disturb his practice. But whether really the demons or the spirit, whether external demons or the external spirit came to disturb the Buddha's practice or not, that is a one question. That is a one question. But one is a very sure and a very certain, they are the thousands of the our mental demons, thousands of the negative mental demon inside of our mind. We really have to eliminate these demons. So this is the one we need a very strong blessings from the Buddha to overcome the all these negative, the thoughts. It's just like internal demons. There are some stories saying that the Buddha was lots of the demons and the external representing the not the demons which come from the outside. It's a representative the demons which only the inside of the like an ego. Hello?
But I think the sound is very breaking, so I don't know how about other places, but from my side, it's quite breaking.
One
Anyway.
second, I will just disconnect and I will connect it again, okay?
Yes,
So sound
please.
quality will better.
Yes,
Okay.
please.
Hello, it's better now?
Yes, it's better now. Yeah, it's better now in Britain.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, the stories in the legendary story says that when the lots of the spirits and the demons disturbings the Buddha's meditation, it is just like symbolizing the demons of the inner demons, our negative emotion like jealousy and ego. Okay, so day five. Okay, so that's why that this is the to overcome the all this obstacles. The best way is to receive the Buddha's blessing. Fastest way to receive the Buddha's blessing is to practicing the merit field. So yeah, so day four. Then the merit field. Then it talks about the seven limbs prayer. Yeah, in the seven limbs, the most important point is the confession or the purifying the negative karma. And
Exactly.
then the seven limbs prayer, among the seven limb prayers, most important is a confession or the purifying the negative karma. So what is the seven limb prayer? That maybe you have to read the book, okay, now. And day five and the sixth, then also it's also all about the seven limbs prayer. Now after the day six is mostly on the seven limbs prayer. Even then the first it will talk about the prostration. And then there will be as I mentioned before, there are the many ways of the prostration. Also it talks about the benefit of the prostration. Then it talks about the offering. Third is confession or the purifying the negative sins of karma. Yeah, so then fourth, fifth, then you can read the books. So this it's and six, yeah. Yeah, so day five and six, there will be the sixth question will come. Yeah, then the day seven. In the day seven, now it talks about the guru devotions. So it is just like a guru devotion comes in the day seven because it talks about a generally Dharma practice is mainly based on the master and the student relation. Because it's like a doctor and a patient relation. So something like that when you start a Dharma practice also it should be we have to carry start the with Dharma practice will be start from the when we build up the relation with the master and the student relation. So that's why it talks about a guru devotion. Yeah, so then also it talks about how we have to devote ourselves to the master. And this point, as I mentioned before, also very clearly said that what should be the quality of the master, what should be the quality of the students, and what kind of the master's quality should be there, and what kind of the perfect, how can the master can become the perfect, what kind of the quality needs to become the perfect master. So in the Liberation Palm, it says very interesting one story that if the master's right now the master's quality is qualities, how the student sees that the master quality is the what the master does, as the student wish they consider as a master is perfect. So it gave a very interesting example that the student who is a very alcoholic, to like this student, the master who says that the drink the alcohol will become the perfect master. So it gives a very interesting example is that that's for the alcoholic student who drink a lot of alcohol, for them the master who says that drink the alcohol become the perfect master. Because he's seeing that exactly they what they like. So it is not the way how you see the perfect master or not. Yeah, so then it talks about the master's quality. Master quality is mainly based on the master who carries doing the exactly as a Dharma. That should be the master quality. Not as the master something doing the what you like,
And you just
saying the
object.
what you like. So master's quality is it's clearly mentioned that it should be clearly mentioned that it should be master should be do as exactly as a Dharma. So then it can be considered as a master as a perfect. So right now the most of people so sees the master is perfect or not like that. If he do something that what you like or not, that is a totally wrong how you analyze the master perfect or not. So then it says that the master is who are doing the against of the master who does the exactly not as a Dharma, then he's doing the very wrong against the Dharma. Then the student don't have to follow that master. It mentioned in the, yeah, very clearly Buddha mentioned that. So that's why in the day seven, no, day seven, it talks about how we have to seize the master, how we have to devote our master. So day seven and the day eight, I think mostly it talks about the day seven and mostly about the guru devotion. So
Like,
if you
but
have only four questions here, yeah. Yeah, so this is the first starting point of the Lamrim practice. Lamrim practice first start with the guru devotions. So that is a very important point. So that's why before the chapter it talks about the quality of the master. When you have to start a right master, you know the quality of the master. Okay, so that's why if you look at the whole the I mean the, if you look at the Lamrim, the all these practices, the first they give us a guru devotion. The guru devotion they give you the first, because this is the way you can start with all the other practice. Okay, so they will be the okay. They will be the I think in the day seven or day eight they will be the only four questions. It's mostly the day seven, and it talks about how you have to devote to your master. And how you have to see your master. Okay, then the day nine. Okay. Generally, I have just one experience here. Generally, one time this I was traveling, and I don't know the person, someone I just met on the way of the traveling. And generally, we had some discussion. Generally, we had some discussion, and that person was then knowing that I'm following the Buddhism. Then he started the talk of the Buddhism. So slowly, slowly, when he was talking too much, then I think he was so much. I mean, when he was talking and talking, so then slowly he started to get to teach me the whole the Buddhism. But he was not. But all he was talking and all he went through the theory, but he sing. But he missed the one biggest point of the Buddhism. Biggest point he missed that the when the coming the Buddhism in his life, what he, that change in his life, he missed that point. He have nothing to tell that he have no point to tell that the, what the Buddhism changed in his life. Only he was talking that what he knows about the Buddhism, that is a very meaningless. When you talk something Buddhism that what you know about, that is a very superficial and that is a, not very meaningful. If you have a one or two in example that the Buddhism coming into your life, or what it makes, that the changes in your life, that's a really very meaningful and very special. Yeah. So generally this time the whatever the exam you are giving is mainly the exam of what you are the understanding on the liberation path. After 1 or 2 years, really I want to know that the what kind of the practice you have done, what kind of the practicing that changes your life. That's a very important. That's a real exam, okay? Okay. Then day seven and the day eight, it's they will be the four question, no? Then four question, day seven and eight. And the day nine mainly it talks about the oh sorry, day nine and ten, isn't it? We are talking about.
Yeah, now is day nine. Now is day nine.
Okay, day nine and ten, there will be six questions. Sorry.
Ngày thứ 9 và ngày thứ 10, ngài sẽ có 6 câu hỏi.
Okay, then it will come the day 11. Day 9 and 10, no? 10, sorry, the 10 it talks of, sorry, this viewpoint I missed. Day 9 it talks of, day 9, day, oh, 7 and 8, is it? Now we are going to talk the day 9 and 10, isn't it?
Yes, we
Sorry,
return.
day 9 and 10, sorry. The day 9 and 10, they will be the sixth question, and it talks about the viewpoints, okay? Now the precious of the human rebirth, and remembering the death, okay? Impermanent, it talks about the impermanence. And impermanence and remembering the precious of the human rebirth. So it also talks about now the precious of the human rebirth and also the impermanence. These are the now the second in the day 9 and 10. As the being the Buddhist practice, also very important to understand the impermanent and also understanding the precious of the human rebirth. Because the impermanent is the one of the best antidote to overcoming the attachment. And the thinking the precious of the human rebirth is to bringing the more joy of this life. Sometimes we feel that we have nothing. But in the reality, we have a lot of things to appreciate to feel happy. Because sometimes when we desire one thing and we cannot achieve that, the one that what we desire, then we will feel that life is hopeless, life is empty. It doesn't mean that when you don't get the one thing, if you cannot achieve that, the one thing what you desire, it does not mean that your life is hopeless and your life is empty. There are a lot of things that we have. Sometimes we cannot appreciate that. So that's why every humans can appreciate that they are the human rebirth. Every human can feel the joy of having this human rebirth. So that's why it teaches us how to look at the very positive things in our life. You should be happy with what you're having. You should be that you should feel the enjoy with you should feel the joy with what you are having. But the one other side also, you should not attach. Again, when you attach it, again you will fall in another trap. Another trap. When you're sometimes too attached, you cannot make a good use of it. Yeah, one time I get the something very precious thing to eat to my mother. One very healthy food to eat my mother. So then after 6 months later, I saw that she didn't eat that very healthy and precious that food. So I asked her, why you didn't eat that? So she told me that it's so precious, so she want to eat that in the new year, to better new year. Sometimes when you're too attached to it, again, you cannot make it a very good use of it. So that's why it's saying that impermanent is some key to overcome that attachment. So impermanent idea that also helps us to make the good use of the every what good thing what we are having it. And also the impermanent also sometimes it will give a lot of the hopes and the courage. So we believe that everything can be changed. Yeah. There is quite long back, I think 6 or 7 years back, there's one teacher came to my place in this era. So he's that time, he told me that he needed some time to talk with me. Then later on, I spoke with him, he told me the one story, very interesting story. He told me he was separated from his girlfriend. Then the girlfriend called him and they told him that now she wants to separate from him. So the first few moments and hours, he told me that he could not believe that. He's saying that that is not true. He might be dreaming, number one. Then the number two, he told me that not only his girlfriend, the host sisters and members, they all just disconnect with him. Not disconnect, but they all blocked his relation in the Facebook, his Facebook pages, they all blocked him. That also contribute him a lot. I mean, to make him so unhappy. Then he told me that he really thought to commit the suicide, but only one would save him blood. He told me, reading the books, he find it of the Buddhism talking about the impermanent. That impermanent saved his life. So impermanent is that everything we have to know. Sometimes we can become the good to the bad, bad to the good. Everything will be changed. It will not remain that exactly same as before. It will not remain that. Everything can be changed. So we have to know that. That person, when he was meeting with, when he's talking with me, I think he 2-3 months, he already spent a lot of the reading the books, Buddhism books. He already got a lot of the knowledge. Actually, that was something like a discussion. More he was talking, I'm listening. Because of all the advice, I think most of the advice, he already got that now, the practicing impermanent and all the things. Yeah, so then also it talks about the remembering the death. It talks about the remembering the death. So remembering the death is something like that. It also sometimes makes that our time is a very limit. So we have to make our time very right use. So that's a very important, yeah. Because sometimes, as I told you, the time is very precious. If you lost the money today, maybe you can make the money tomorrow. If you lost the money tomorrow, day after tomorrow, there will be chances to make your money back. If you lost the time, there is no way to getting back to your time at all. Just 1 or 2 days back, I read the one newspaper, and they called the one of the Indian actor who just passed away. He died. Age was 66. Sometime I follow his Indian movie. He's very good at a comedian, yeah, playing the comedian. So now the age of 66, it just passed away. But somehow he spent the time. One point, it how he spent the times, and he have only the, like that. the time how he spends. Yeah, so I was a bit surprised, and when I hear of that news when he was passed away. But then I think very carefully, and I find it out that not only him, also that we all have a same. We have a time duration, how long we are going to stay. I have the time duration to stay in this world. So not every time we have to use it very rightly. Because sometimes when we don't remember our death, sometimes we will neglect, or sometimes that we will neglect our time, and sometimes we will not manage our time very properly. Yeah, so that's okay. That's now the day 11. So day 11, it talks about the sufferings of all the mostly suffering of the samsaras. Because the thinking, the suffering of the samsara, it's to help the generate the compassion towards other. You know, sometimes that also important to see the suffering of the others. When you see the suffering, or when you think the suffering of the others, that some you will it will be the best way to generating the compassion to other. It's a you know, to really when you have to generate the compassion to the others, you have to understand the suffering of the others. You have to meditate the suffering of the others. So day 11, it talks about the sufferings. Worst suffering is the dissatisfaction. That is the worst suffering. When you are not satisfied with what you are doing, when you are not satisfied with what you get, then it's the worst suffering. If you're satisfied, then it's a joy. But the most of people, I mean, the most of the people, I'm not, and most of people, they are not very satisfied with what they are having and what they are doing. So that is the one suffering. Even the Alexander the Great, when he was conquering from the Europe to the India, he was conquering the all the land. Still, he is not satisfied. Okay, so day 11. So it's a suffering. So it would be able to be the five questions. Okay, in day 11. And the day 12. Now it's talk about the taking the refuge to the three jewels. So it's an important point is that then now it talks about the what is the three jewels. So yeah, okay. Now we are talking about day 12. No, day 12. It talks about the taking the refuge to the three jewels. Then it also talks about the or how we have to take the refuge. Okay, so it talks about what the meanings of the Buddha, what the meaning of the Dharma. It talks about what the meaning of the Sangha. Yeah, so in this is day 12, no? Day 12. Yeah, so day 12. So day 12, I think you are having the five question in the day 12. So also the day 12 is the most important thing is that when you say that you are practicing the Buddhist or when you are saying the Buddhist, so how we can what is the definition of the Buddhist? So definition will take refuge to the three jewels. It can be considered he or she can be considered as a Buddhist. Also, it talks about the three jewels that it talks about the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha. Actually, what does the meaning of the Buddha? What is the meaning of the Sangha? In this chapter 12, then it talks it explain about the meanings of the three jewels, and also it talks about the qualities of the Buddhas, and it talks about the qualities of the Buddha's speech, qualities of the Buddha's body, qualities of the Buddha's mind. Then you can differentiate who is the Buddha and who is the non-Buddha. When you understand the qualities of the Buddha, then it will become very easy to differentiate the Buddha and the non-Buddha. And also, it talks the benefits of the taking the refuge. And also, now the day 13. Day 13, it talks more on the cause and the effects, law of the cause and effects. And it takes not to do the bad thing. I mean, then it talks about we have to abandon the bad karma. So then it talks about the 10 negative virtues, 10 negative. Of non-virtue, 10 negative sin. So these are the, I mean, the then the day, I mean, the day 13, it talks more of the law of the cause and effect. So among the laws of the cause and the effect, also it talks about, especially, it talks about the 10 non-virtues. That's very important to know that what is the 10 non-virtue. To become a Buddhist, we have to abandon the 10 non-virtue. So ten among the 10 known virtues, you have to also know the how many physically known how physically physical sin I mean physical sin and the speech non-virtue and the mental non-virtue. Sometimes what is happening is that even when you talk about the law and the cause and the effect, but not knowing the general non-virtue, that's not very, I mean, that's quite sad that even you talks about a lot of the virtue and the non-virtue cause and a lot of effects, and yourself is not understanding, and you are not knowing the general non-virtues. And even if you look at the Christian and the Jewish, if there is the same idea that they when they talks about the Ten Commandments, Ten Commandments, it is not exactly same as the Ten Virtue, but still they believe that the Ten Commandments actually the Moses that bring that from the direct from the God to the world peoples. Okay. Now the last session and this session, Fong is missing, so a lot of the now the Fong's representatives, they are good thing is that yeah, so there are many Fong's representative, that is a very good thing. Okay, so maybe now the Fong will join from the next session. Okay, these two session Fong could not join here. Yeah, okay. So, okay. Now from the day 13 there will be the four questions. So, up till the day 13, okay? There will be four question. Totally there will be the 40 question. Okay, as I mentioned before, among the 40 question, the mark will be carried from the 35 question. Even you make a five answers the mistake, still you don't have to worry. The full mark you can get among the 40 35 point. The every one's questions carry the 1 point. Okay, and it will be the very e is the question will be the just so you have to tick, okay? You have to tick. You don't have to write anything, okay? As I mentioned before, if you pass the exam, then we will issue the certificate, okay? Okay, this is the Lamrim basic, I mean the exam. So then later when you will be the advanced, okay, exam you have to give after 1 year maybe. Okay. Okay, so I'll just summarize all these points. So maybe then I think I will stop here. So if you have anything questions, any questions, maybe I will leave for the few minutes for the question answer sessions. So then the more thing is that you can now that in the now exam will be after New Year, okay? After New Year, so maybe if you have the free time, then you can read the Liberation Balm, the book, and also maybe you can listen to the audio what we posted in our website, the core website.
Rinpoche, the Prince Dipa has one question. The question is on the number day number four. When there's instructions about how to set up the altar, and it says that we have to put the sutras above the Buddha statues. But where she saw everywhere the statues always the highest. So how he can.
Yeah, so actually the sutra should be on the top of the Buddha. That's very right. Some person sometimes they will put the Buddha sutta under the Buddha statue because of the ignorance. They are not knowing the how to set up the altar. Yeah, so then if they do something like that, then we can do nothing. Just but also we should not do like that. Yeah, so that's mainly the because we what we keep the Buddha sutra on the top of the Buddha statue is the only the Buddha scripture that does can liberate us from the suffering. The Buddha's teaching can liberate us from the suffering, not a Buddha. So that's why that we consider Buddha's teaching are more holy and more sacred than a Buddha.
I think Rinpoche, maybe the question is a little bit misunderstanding because she thought
Yeah.
that we have to put the sutras above the Buddha head. But as I say, explained to them that we can put the base is higher than the base we put the statue. So it doesn't mean that the sutra is higher than the statue. Is that correct?
Oh, I didn't get your phone. Yeah, can you just tell me one second?
Because when we set up the altar, so we have put the sutra higher than the Buddha. But because the sutra is very thin and Buddha statue sometimes very big. So to put the sutra higher than the Buddha, we have to put the base, we put the sutra higher than the base, we put the statue. So it's already considered as we put the sutra higher than the Buddha statue. Is that correct?
Can you just one more thing? Can you just tell me once again? The Buddha statue is a very high, so.
Because you know, when we put the sutra and the statue, sometimes we can see that the statue is higher than the Buddha, but it's actually not like that. Because the sutras we put at the base higher than the base we put the statue. Even the statue can be higher than the sutra, but we still consider as we put the sutra higher than the statue because the base. The basement where.
I see. Now it very much depends. Very much depends. If you have the place to keep the sutra, if you have to keep the place sutra, then on the above of the Buddha's top, I mean the above of the Buddha's head, it's also very fine, very fine. If you keep the Buddha sutra above of the base of the Buddha statue, also very fine. But here, what he means that we cannot keep the Buddha sutra under the Buddha statue.
Yes. Okay, so the second question is from Tikang, Ho Chi Minh City. When we do offering the fruits and water to the Buddha, and after the rituals, can we eat and drink these waters and fruits?
Yes, sure.
That's the first question. And the second question is, when I meet some animal died on the street, can I read the Vajrasattva sutra to the animal on the street if I see.
I see. Okay. I see. Kim ka thakdo, isn't it? Vajrasattva, how do you say that?
Umbensasatuhum.
No, I mean in the Vietnamese, how do you say that?
Kim ka tadwa.
Kim ka, I see. Kim ka thakdo. I see. Chinese, they used to say the Chingang Sato. Chingang Sato, I see, that's exactly. Okay, yeah. Two things, yeah, very good. When you see the animal death, yeah, if you say the Vajrasattva mantra, that's very good. If you pray for that, also very good. And when you do some offerings of the Buddhas and the food and what you offered, and also after the finishing the offering, if you can eat that, there's no problem. So when you eat this food after the, when you're offering to the Buddha, that's also very good. What you offer to the Buddha, what you offer the water, then you just think that now you're taking the blessings food from blessings food. Okay. Okay. So maybe today I will stop here. Okay. Today I will stop here. So maybe now I just gave you today the revisions of the main points of the older chapters. So maybe I just made this. So that's where you can, after this classes and when you have later on, whenever you have the free time, just you go on the reading these chapters from chapter 30 who are willing to give the exam. Okay. So whoever gives the exam, I'm sure that it will help you when you read it, and when you try to read more and more, then you will understand much better. Up till now, you are just coming to the class and just listening and listening. You are not putting your side to effort to understand the Dharma. So now, if you give the exam, I'm sure that then you have to read it more. Then I'm sure that it will benefit you quite a lot. And also, as I told before, you will get certificate, and if you do very well in the exam, as I told last time, you can join retreats in the Nepal. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Then today I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Thank you.